Welcome to iFaith 72, The Bee and the Thunderstorm. Our previous two video sermons were from the book of Joshua, which ends with a call to Israel to be faithful, and this would be in the late 1200s BC. The next couple of centuries, the people are in the Promised Land, but life is not good. They're not living spiritually for the most part. Things are very chaotic, very crazy. There are 12 judges, but we shouldn't think that these persons lead all of Israel. Normally, they just lead part of Israel. And not only that, but their lives and their rule seems to be overlapping. At any rate, this takes us through the time of Judges and Ruth up to 1 Samuel. Samuel is the last judge, and he's the one who anointed the first king. Again, it's not a good time for Israel. And eventually, they want a king. They want someone to lead them just the way the pagan nations do. And this is not God's choice. In fact, God said if there's a king, he needs to be a spiritual person. But the Israelites were looking for national leadership, political, military leadership, not spiritual leadership. There's a pattern in the book of Judges, which is laid out early in the book. I'd like to read this. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of Yahweh and served the Baals. They forsook Yahweh, the God of their ancestors who brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped the gods of the peoples around them. And in his anger against Israel, Yahweh gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of Yahweh was against them. Just as he had sworn to them, they were in great distress. Then Yahweh raised up leaders who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their leaders, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. But when the leader died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods, serving, worshipping them. They refused to give up their practices, their evil practices and their stubborn ways. And that's from Judges 2. But that's a kind of a five-stage cycle that repeats throughout Judges. There's that temptation of by the world, and the people slide into sin, into idolatry. They lose faith. Then there are the negative consequences. They're doing lousy personally, but also they're oppressed by foreign powers. Then they cry out to the Lord, but these aren't really cries of repentance so much as cries for deliverance. Cries for help. Yahweh sends somebody. God works. But the people fail to give thanks and glory to God, and they go back to the world. And once that leader is gone, once that leader has died, there's a massive relapse, and the cycle begins all over again. I don't want to be too negative. Even though God's people as a whole were not close to him, apostasy, that is rebellion against God's will, was common, there's still some evidence in Judges of the power of God and people's awareness of the covenant, and there's evidence of faith. But these cycles have a lot to say to us. Now, I'm not doing a class on cycles, I'm doing a sermon on Deborah, but think of the cycles we see in the book of Judges, actually in the Old Testament, in the history of Israel. But look in the New Testament. Look at the problems that are beginning, even in the first century. And look at church history, 2,000 years, where we see similar cycles. We may see cycles like this in our own local congregation, even in our own lives, where we compromise, we suffer the consequences, we try to get out of it somehow, but then we end up going back. Well, there's a lot to say here if we'll listen humbly. But I'm eager to talk about Deborah. Now, this is not a domestic story. Yes, she's married, a fellow named Lapidot. Presumably they had children, but that's not the story. If you want a domestic story, wait. In iFaith 74, we'll be looking at Ruth, and that's a great story. Now, the story of Deborah is national and political. She's married, but she has a life outside the family. She describes herself this way: I arose a mother in Israel. Now, she's not talking about her own immediate family. She's talking about the way she served God's people. Deborah is also a prophetess. And it's hard to determine exactly what that means, but it seems to be parallel to Miriam, Moses' sister. And in each case, we see a victory celebrated by the prophet, the prophetess, in song. So if you have time later, look at Exodus 15 and look at Judges 5. Well, our lesson today is primarily from Judges 4. Let's begin, okay? Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, and I'm leaving out a few words here, but we're meeting the main characters, Sisera, the commander. Jabin, we won't see again. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Okay, this is not good. The Canaanites are oppressing the Israelites. And the Canaanites have 900 chariots with iron. I think that's probably a covering. Think of the armored division. This is extremely frightening. Now, we'll come back to those chariots in a few minutes. I need to give some background information here about the weather in Israel. Israel has a typical Mediterranean climate. There's a dry season and a wet season. The winter is when the precipitation comes. And after March or April, there's less and less, and then eventually virtually no rain at all until late autumn. So maybe some in October, probably in November, certainly by December. When ancient peoples in this area fought battles, they would typically go out in the spring. You may remember the words, in the spring, the time when kings go to war, from 2 Samuel. They went to war in the spring because the weather was lousy until the rain stopped. All right, let's keep going. Now Deborah, or technically Devorah, Devorah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. It occurs to me that Deborah is like Moses. She has wisdom and authority. People need her, and they come to her for solutions. Now, there were strong male leaders in ancient Israel, even in the time of Deborah. But Deborah was better. God doesn't say, well, sorry, you're the wrong gender. It's really not legitimate to use this account to suppress female leadership or to bolster male leadership. She wasn't leading because no man would do it. I've heard that preached before. I've heard that taught before. It's simply not true. I think she led because she was a great leader. She was good, inspiring, relationally good. She was a mother in Israel. God uses us and our gifts. Well, continuing, Devorah sent for Barak, son of Ahinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men and lead them up Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Yabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I'll go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Barak is the commander, the one that Deborah sends in this fight against the Canaanites. We see also that he's to go to the Kishon River. Now, Kishon River, just water, think of this. Just remember that. We'll come back to it soon. Now, what happens, however, is that when the Israelites win, it's not that Barak captures the king or the commander of the Canaanites. He doesn't capture Yabin or doesn't capture Sisera. That actually happens through the faith of a woman, and not Deborah, someone else named Yael. In fact, when we come to Hebrews 11, because I know some of you are still thinking, yeah, I don't know, Deborah should have been leading, you know, maybe it was Barak's fault. He should have been the judge. I don't think so. Barak is a great man, and he's commended in Hebrews 11:32 for his faith. So he's a person of faith. Deborah is just even more powerful. And then finally, let's read. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. So this ends up with a victory for Israel and with the Canaanite commander running away. He runs to, technically, the territory of an ally. He's taken into a tent. It's the wife of one of the men who should be supportive of him. And she ends his life treacherously. It's a breach of hospitality and it's a betrayal. But how did Israel triumph over this superior force? How did they do it? By faith and thunderstorm. All right, let me establish this before we get to the practical applications. We read in the celebration of this victory, which is in the next chapter, chapter 5, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. Verse 4. So it's probably the dry season, but here it's wet. We read also, the kings came and they fought, the kings who came and fought by the waters of Megiddo. That's verse 19. Okay, so they're, again, the mention of water. And the river Kishon swept them away. The age-old river, the river Kishon. That's in verse 21. So this river is swollen. There's lots of water in it. It's very powerful. And it seems there was a thunderstorm. Now, what would happen? Well, that would create mud. It's a bit out of season. And that meant the chariots wouldn't be able to maneuver. I think of Hitler's tanks not being able to maneuver when they got caught in mud in some of the battles of World War II. Okay, if you want something slightly more modern. So there's a victory. Even though God's people are outgunned, outmanned, the Canaanites are more impressive, but it wasn't because God's people were so strong or so skillful. This was all God. It's a big theme in the Bible. Whenever there's a victory, especially a military victory, it has little to do with the weaponry. It has to do with God's purposes. And God is the one who brought victory. Now, another thought for you. Deborah, that's the Hebrew word for bee. Think of the bee, like the bee that makes honey, that buzzes around. Her husband, whose name is Lapidoth, his name means flames, like flames of fire. And Barak, that's the word for lightning. So, you know, if you had some very powerful children, you might name them Thunder and Lightning, right? Anyway, we have lightning and we have flames and we have the bee. God works through the thunderstorm, but it's not through the power of these incredible men for all of the flash and bang and awe. It's through the bee. Deborah sings a song. It says that Deborah and Barak sang the song. And let me just read two lines and then we'll wrap up. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. So there's leadership in this story, and it's not just from men, it's from women also. And probably, by the way, Deborah is the most godly of the 12 judges in the book of Judges. And then the next verse, hear this, you kings, listen, you rulers. So Deborah wants the Canaanites to hear. She wants the pagan kings, the idolaters to hear. The honor is not to a man, it's not even really to a woman, and Yael did not act honorably. The honor goes to God. See, Deborah is a powerful person of faith, and that means a person of action who cares about God's reputation. Barak is also good, but Deborah is even better. The bee made much more noise than the thunder and the lightning. And you know, actually there are many powerful figures in the Old Testament who are women. If Deborah had led Israel, what does that say for leadership in our day? Interesting question. And are we striving for our own honor or for the Lord's honor? That's what Deborah did. Am I a woman or man of action? Am I a woman or man of faith? Those two go together and they cannot be separated. I find this inspiring and I hope you do too. In our next iFaith message, we'll look at Gideon. And Gideon is a great leader, though still, he's not as solid in faith as Deborah. God bless you. Have a great day.